This is describing the Lord's return from his South India tour to Jagannath Puri. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya makes the arrangements for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's residence in Puri upon his return, so that he will find a nice room and some good situation, like Rasa Parayana Prabhu and the guest house crew of Radhadesh. They had heard that there will be an invasion of yogis from the Himalayas, and then upon receiving this news, they have made the guest house especially warm, sufficient amount of water which flows throughout the day, so that the yogis can cleanse themselves after profusely sweating. And they have their very nice smiles on the face all the time to make us comfortable. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is now making the guest house arrangements for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Punarapi hantana hoyla agamana eka bara deki kore sofala nayana.
When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returns again, says Maharaj Pratapa Rudra, the king of Puri, I wish to see him just once in order to make my eyes perfect.
Bhattacharya kahitenho ashibal pakale rahite tanreka sthana chahiye virale.
Now Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya replies to the eager king who wants to have darshan.
His Holiness Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will return very soon.
I wish to have a nice place ready for him, a place which must be solitary and peaceful. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya identifies the place which is good for bhajan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It must be solitary, must be alone, and there must be a maximum amount of peace. And then he details some more information about what this staying place should look like.
Takurera nikata arahebanyana e matani mayakori deha ekastane.
Lord Chaitanya's residence should be very secluded, away from the traffic of the Purivasas, and it's a pilgrimage town. There are a lot of pilgrims always shouting Haribol, and it's very loud. So Lord Chaitanya's residence should be very secluded, but it should also be near the temple of Jagannath. Please consider this proposal and give me a nice place for him. So this is very difficult. This, it must be secluded away from everything, but it must be also close to where everything happens, the temple. So the king, this requires a raja.
Raja kahe.
The king replied,
Aiche koshi mishrara bhavan takure nikate haya paramanya jan.
The king replied,
Kashi Mishra's house is exactly what you require. You look for this house of Kashi Mishra. It is near the temple, and at the same time, this very secluded, calm and quiet.
So this is the idea. Who of you has visited Kashi Mishra's house? Jana Jamadi? No? Not yet? It is very close to the temple, but it really has strong walls. And then you go through the first wall, and there's the temple of Radha Kanta, Shri Radha Kanta. And then you can somehow walk into another big space, which is separated. And within that big space, you again find a small place, which is the Gambira of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it's a house within a house within a house. This is very, very safe, very calm. So then the king now waits for the Lord to return. Etako hi raja grahe utkantitahana. Kanta means the collar, and utkanta means out of the collar. You know, when someone looks like this, it's ordinary mood, but if he looks like this, it means he's out of his collar. Er ist aus seinem Kragen geschlüpft. And is what? Very eager. Bhattacharya Kashi Mishra Kohile Ashiya. After saying this, the king became very out of his collar. That means out of, very anxious for the Lord to return. Sarvabhoma Bhattacharya then went to Kashi Mishra to convey the king's desire. So there was an order of the king. He must have this place, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya gave or went to Kashi Mishra to tell him this is the order. So now we hear how Kashi Mishra reacts to the proposal that the Lord will come into his house. Kashi Mishra kahyami bada bhagyavana mora griha prabhu padera habe ashvastan. When Kashi Mishra heard this proposal, he said, "No, everything is occupied." No, this doesn't sound correct. Jai Gopal is highly upset. When Kashi Mishra heard this proposal, he said, "I am very fortunate that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Lord of all Prabhus, will stay at my home." Now there's a purport to this. It's a very, very interesting purport. And we will hear with rapt attention. This is actually the verse of today, and maybe you should please repeat after me. So Kashi Mishra heard the proposal that the Lord will come, and he said, "I'm very fortunate that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Lord of all Prabhus, Prabhu Padera, of the Lord of the Prabhus, will stay at my home." Purport. In this verse, the word Prabhupada, referring to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is significant. Regarding this, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Goswami Prabhupada comments, "Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself, Sri Krishna, and all His servants address Him as Prabhupada. This means that there are many Prabhus taking shelter under His lotus feet. The pure Vaishnava is addressed as Prabhu, and this address is an etiquette observed between Vaishnavas. When many Prabhus remain under the shelter of the lotus feet of another Prabhu, the address Prabhupada is given.
Sri Nityananda Prabhu and Sri Advaita Prabhu are also addressed as Prabhupada. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Advaita Prabhu and Sri Nityananda Prabhu are all Vishnu Tattva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu. Therefore, all living entities are under their lotus feet. Lord Vishnu is the eternal Lord of everyone, and the representative of Lord Vishnu is the Lord's confidential servant. Such a person acts as the spiritual master for neophyte Vaishnavas. Therefore, the spiritual master is a receptacle, is as respectable as Sri Chaitanya or Lord Vishnu himself. For this reason, the spiritual master is addressed as Om Vishnupad or Prabhupad. The Acharya, the spiritual master, is generally respected by others as Sripad, and the initiated Vaishnavas are addressed as Prabhu. Prabhu, Prabhupad and Vishnupad are described in revealed scriptures like Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita and Chaitanya Bhagavat. In this regard, these scriptures present evidence accepted by unalloyed devotees. The Prakriti Sahajiyas are not even worthy of being called Vaishnavas. They think that caste Goswamis should be called Prabhupada. Such ignorant Sahajiyas call themselves Vaishnav Dasa Anudasa, which means the servant of the servant of the Vaishnavas. However, they are opposed to addressing a pure Vaishnav as Prabhupada. In other words, they are envious of a bona fide spiritual master who is addressed as Prabhupada, and they commit offenses by considering a bona fide spiritual master an ordinary human being or a member of a certain caste. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur describes such sahajiyas as most unfortunate because of their misconception. They fall into a hellish condition. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returns to Jagannath Puri, and it is a very, very wonderful reception which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gets by all the loving devotees who have been waiting for his return for such a long time. We hear how it was when Lord Krishna was absent from Dwaraka. It must have been similar to how it was for the devotees when the Lord was not present in Puri. When Lord Krishna was not present in Dwaraka, the devotees were like corpses, lying like dead men in their houses. They were not actually able to function properly. Lord Krishna knew this, and when he returned, after he had been away in the battle of Kurukshetra, when he returned afterwards to Dwaraka, he knew his devotees needed life. And so when he was just outside of Dwaraka, he blew in his conch shell. And as the sound of the conch shell, which is blown to... You can please blow for our listening, that we get some idea, because you blow very, very nicely.
Oh, very good. Hare Krishna. Well, I think the reason is because you have been asked to perform a task which only God can perform. To blow in the conch shell and wake everyone up who is suffering from the pangs of separation from Him. So naturally you were a little nervous. Yes, Lord Krishna blew in His conch shell and it became red as He was blowing into the conch shell, because the conch shell was now serving the Lord and having a direct contact with His lotus lips. And upon hearing this sound, that Dvarakavasis came back to life. So in the same way, when the devotees in Puri heard that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will come, oh, they were really excited, and especially the king, Maharaj Prataparudra. We hear that he's Utkanta. He is very, very anxious. He's out of his neck, so enthusiastic to reach the Lord. And then the Lord greeted everyone. It's a wonderful scene which has been painted by our talented painters. You can see here Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sitting with all his devotees, greeting them, asking how have you been, and telling news of the pilgrimage from which he returned. It was an extremely loving mood and loving scene. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed in this little house within the house within a house, in this Gambira, a little room which pilgrims can still visit today. It is very narrow, and it was not, and I would like to speak a little bit about this room today, because that's the subject. I could also address the subject of Prabhupada and so on, but I would like to do this at the highlight of this lecture at the end. Sweets come last. This room is very, very, very small, and it's not even long enough for the Lord to totally stretch out. It is very narrow. The Lord stayed in this room for a period of above 28 years, and he was there really relishing a very secret relishing the intense mood of Srimati Radharani in separation from Lord Krishna. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has two purposes in his incarnation. One is a purpose which relates to the conditioned souls, and the second purpose is a purpose which relates to his own exploration. The purpose which relates to the conditioned souls is he preaches Krishna consciousness to everyone, and is known in this function as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Prabhupada. He preaches, and many, many have come to his lotus feet and assembled there. But he had also another reason why he appeared. Krishna actually wanted to taste the mood of Srimati Radharani. And I would like to speak a little bit about this today, because it's a very, very nice subject and very moving and very enlivening. We all know Lord Krishna was
not able to understand Srimati Radharani's love for him, and therefore decided to just make an exploration. The Red Indians of America say, "Man, if you want to understand me, walk one day in my moccasins." No? That is, do what I do, go the paths which I walk, and then you will understand me. So Krishna feels like that. He wants to walk in the mood and act in the mood of his devotee, his best devotee, Srimati Radharani, and therefore takes on the role of Srimati Radharani, that is the role of a devotee of his. That then gets into the mood and explores the mood and relishes the mood. So this was done, this project was done in the Gambira. It's a very, very sacred room, the room of the exploration of God, you could say, if you want to use a modern term or some interesting language. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not forget his devotees in Navadvip, particularly not one of his devotees who acted in this incarnation as his mother. One day Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Jagadananda Pandit to go to Navadvip to his mother Sachimata and give her some Mahaprasadam and a cloth from Lord Jagannath as a gift. And he said, "Tell my mother something very confidential. Tell my mother, who always cries for me in Navadvip, that there is not one day when I don't appear in Navadvip. I'm visiting her every day and I'm eating whatever she cooks for me." Sachimata's love for Sachinandan Mahaprabhu was expressed in her, amongst other things, in her very wonderful cooking. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had left to take sannyas, she felt a little, extremely distressed. And she felt there is also no opportunity now for me to cook for him. And he likes this, and he likes that, and this, and I only know to cook it. And but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu here tells Jagadananda Pandit, "Tell my mother that I'm coming every day and eating her food." She should not doubt about this. She has some idea, but she then doubts that this idea may be a hallucination, a wishful thinking. But no, I'm actually coming every day. Now, while in Nadia, Jagadananda Pandit meets another devotee of Chaitanya. He meets all the devotees, but he meets one very special devotee who is the embodiment of all divine ecstasies of loving service. He is already old. He has a beard. He has white hair. And he dances sometimes in ecstasy. And he stretches out so loud when he chants Hari Bol that his Brahman string rips. Those of us who have read Chaitanya Charitamrita know that this is Advaita Acharya. And Advaita Acharya gives a message for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Puri, which does something to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which I will describe a little later. This message throws Mahaprabhu into the deepest, deepest, deepest corner of the ocean of separation. The message is, unfortunately,
is like this. Unfortunately, it's so difficult to read this small script even. Please inform Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, says Advaita Acharya, who's acting like a madman, that everyone here, that means in this world, has become mad like him. Inform him also that in the marketplace, rice is no longer in demand. Those now mad in ecstatic love are no longer interested in the material world. Tell this to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Tell that Advaita Prabhu, who has also become a madman, is ecstatic in love. He has spoken these words. Then Advaita Acharya goes into his mood. Haribol! Jagadananda says, touches the feet of Advaita Acharya, who begins to dance and says, I will say everything word by word. I don't understand it, but I will tell this to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu hears this mystical language, he becomes very, very withdrawn inside of him. He meditates about the message. The message is, there is no need any longer for selling items on the marketplace. And Mahaprabhu understands the message. He understands Advaita Acharya is a pujari. He has invited me to come. Now he says, there is no need. Goodbye. You can go. Everyone has bought already the rice which you came to bring. Now you may go. This is how they say. Mahaprabhu says, after the worship is completed, he sends the deity somewhere else. I do not know. And then he covers everything up. I do not know the meaning of this sonnet, nor do I know what is in Advaita Prabhu's mind. He knows very well what is in his mind, but he doesn't wish to disturb his devotees. He knows that Advaita Acharya, who called him, says, your mission, my Lord, is now completed successfully in this world. You may go. So from this moment, this verse, it does something to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Imagine I would give Raphael, I would say, Raphael, I didn't want to tell you yesterday, but here is arrived some letter. In this letter, there is the news that you have that while you were practicing yoga, you have gotten 10 million euros. I want to give this to you. Raphael would first of all try to hide his feelings because he's very reserved. He's a gentleman. But I can guarantee you, when he is out of the room, he would start to dance and he would roll. He would roll down to his room and he would do crazy things because he is so... this message has done something to him. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard, no need any longer, you may go, he went deep into the mood of separation. And he chanted one particular verse which Radharani had chanted. Kvananda kulo chandrama kvashiki chandra lakagiti kvamandra mulilarava kvasu surendra niladyuti kvarasa rasa tandavi kvasaki jiva rakshodaya nidirmama suritama kva bhata
Antaha Dikvidim. This is from Lalita Madhava. And this is quoted in Chaitanya Lila, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, I'm sorry. It says, in the mood of Radharani, he is entering in the mood of the highest states of Krishna conscious prema. My dear friend, where is Krishna, who is like the moon rising from the ocean of Maharaj Nanda's dynasty? Where is Krishna, his head decorated with a peacock feather? Where is he? Where is Krishna, whose flute produces such a deep sound? It's not so high. This is a particular sound of the Murali flute. It's very deep. But very nice. Oh, where is Krishna, whose bodily luster is like the luster of the blue Indranila jewel? Where is Krishna, who is so expert in rasa dancing? Oh, where is he who can save my life? 10 million euros can't save your life, Raphael. Where Krishna can save your life. Kindly tell me where to find Krishna, the treasure of my life and best of my friends. Feeling separation from him, I hereby condemn Providence, the shaper of my destiny. So Radharani says to Vishakha, Providence is very bad. It's a great fool. It first makes lovers meet and then separates them. It's too much. This is the statement. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes so deep into this mood that the Kashi, the Gambira and Kashi Mishra's Bhavan becomes really a place of his intense feelings of separations. In the evening, his devotees come, Ramananda Roy and Swarup Damodar Goswami, Lalita and Vishakha, they always come to Srimati Radharani, and they begin to sing songs of Vrindavan and so on. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes so much into it that when the two leave late in the night, he is in the Gambira and he's just relishing, he's just totally in ecstasy, and he begins to rub his lotus face against the wall, and he makes a sound like gong, 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 gong. And in the morning his devotees come and they see his face is filled with divine blood. They become shocked and they say, Mahaprabhu, why did you do this for you? The whole night you have hurt your lotus face. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just looks at them and says, where is Krishna? So then the devotees have to make an arrangement. They think very deeply, we must protect Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I mean, he has now rubbed the skin from his face. So intense are his loving ecstasy. We must do something. And they have one idea. They go to the brother of Damodar Pandit. His name is Shankara Pandit. And they tell the Shankara, you must stay in the night with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that this doesn't happen again. So Shankara Pandit stays in this room, but because the room is so narrow, there is not much place to stretch. So he lies here, and Mahaprabhu puts his legs over him. And therefore Mahaprabhu, the Shankara Pandit, has become known in the language of the Chaitanya Bhaktas as Shankara, the pillow of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Every night, the Lord puts his lotus feet on him, and Shankara
Pandit will massage the lotus feet, and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continues to chant. Shankara Pandit sometimes falls asleep. And Mahaprabhu then gets up and takes his own chada and spreads it over the body of Shankara Pandit so that he may not freeze, but he may be warm and well taken care of, while he cannot sleep, not even for a wink of a second. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chants very softly, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. It just goes deep, deep into this mood. This is what happens in the Gambhira, a very, very wonderful divine pastimes. And I urge you, my dear Vaishnavas, your life is not 100% perfect unless you have seen a picture of the sacred Gambhira room. It looks really wonderful. When you come close, you begin to feel, oh Krishna, it's very, very holy and very sacred. The walls are very thick, it's a very special room. And many, many leelas have taken place in this room. I would like to conclude the leela session with one particular pastime which took place one full moon night in the month of Vaishakha. That month is still coming. It's April turning into May. One full moon night, the Lord again would not be able to rest. So he went with all his devotees into a particular garden, the Jagannath Vallabh garden, and he would again sing, oh, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? This was his mantra. Where is Krishna? Kva, kva means where. Kva nanda, nandana. So he went into this garden in this mood. And he told his associates to sing a verse from the Gita Govinda. Who knows who's the author of Gita Govinda? Jayadev Goswami, yes. There appears one verse which you can look. He told them to sing. I want to read this verse from you. Lalita Lavanga Lati Pada Gachayana. In this atmosphere, the moon was there, fragrant flowers were there. In this atmosphere, the Lord had his associates sing a verse from the Gita Govinda, beginning with the words, Lati Lavanga Lata, as he danced and wandered about with them. Do you know what this song says? Lati Lavanga Lata. If you look up it up in the Gita Govinda, it describes the spring season. Shrimati Radharani is in the forest of Vrindavan. She has gone there to meet Krishna, and she observes the forest. The Lavanga Latita, Lavanga Latika Pada, this is the verse. Lavanga Latika means the creepers are swinging in a soft breeze which comes from the Malaya hills. It's very moving. And then Radharani hears Krishna in another part of the forest together with other gopis. And then a pastime of meeting and so on. So Krishna is just there, but Radharani is not with Krishna. Do you know what this feeling is? Imagine you are very hungry, Jai Gopal. This is something I believe which we have seen many times when you were traveling on the Sharanagati traveling Sankirtan Guru. The prasadam was just there. The person to whom, for whom this was cooked, was just eating it, and you were so hungry. You were in the next room, thinking, "When is he finished? When is he finished? When is he finished?" All you could think at that time, there was just the fulfillment of all your desires in the other room, but it was consumed by another person. You felt extreme pangs of separation. You were mental. You had to phone your mother to overcome the deep distress which was making you into a very difficult to handle person. So Krishna is there, but he is with others. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes into this mood of intense separation, and he wandered around. As he thus wandered around every tree and creeper, he came beneath an Ashoka tree. Now, as he came under this particular tree, he suddenly met Krishna. He saw Krishna. Now, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw Lord Krishna, as described, he began running very swiftly. Do you know why he ran very swiftly? He wanted to catch him, to embrace him. But Krishna smiled. And any idea? And disappeared. Correct. Now I want to ask you a question which has been discussed very elaborately on the first Braj Mandal Parikrama on which I went. Can Krishna really completely 100% disappear? Of course. No. These are now two contradicting scholars. Why do you say, of course, Krishna can completely disappear? He is all powerful. He can do everything. Sreshtikata, why do you say Krishna cannot disappear?
Because Krishna disappears, there still stays something with the smell.
Oh! So Sreshtikata says, yes, Krishna can disappear, but there's still something left from Krishna which lingers in the air, and it is his fragrance, his divine smell. What do you say now? This is now a difficult situation. Two pandits have totally contradicted themselves. We need to move to this Chaitanya Charitamrita to hear some. So the first thing is, having first gotten Krishna and then having lost him again, see, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fell to the ground unconscious. And now, now this looks good for Sreshtikata's version. The entire garden was filled with the scent. Scent means smell or fragrance of Lord Krishna's transcendent body. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu smelled this, he fell unconscious at once. But the scent of Krishna's body was not giving up. It now entered the nostrils of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the Lord became mad to relish it. He, in other words, awoke again. So this is what happened to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He smelled this divine fragrance of Lord Krishna. Do you know how Krishna smells?
This is a very intimate knowledge, isn't it? Listen to this, Prabhus. We now hear the about the fragrance of Lord Krishna. When sandalwood pulp with aguru, kumkum and musk is mixed with camphor and spread on Krishna's body, it combines with Krishna's own original bodily perfume and seems to cover it. So Krishna has this, puts this smell over him, little sandalwood pulp. Yes, also the recipe is given in Prabhupada's version. It's very difficult to read. It's so small. There's a chatur. It's called chatur. Four substances. They're mixed. One quarter, one half, one, and so on. It's not in this purport, but Prabhupada says in another purport about this. When sandalwood pulp with aguru, kumkum, and musk, I have no idea what these substances are. It's mixed with camphor. A little idea. So it's a very, very, camphor is a very forthgoing smell, and it seems to move the smell. It's the active moving principle, it seems like this. But maybe there are other active moving principles of Krishna's desire that his devotees get this. And Radharani describes about this smell of the Lord that my Madan Mohan has opened a shop with perfumes. And all the living entities come to this shop. In other words, they want to be close to Krishna, experience Krishna's intoxicating presence. But when they come, what happens? The perfume blinds them, and they don't know how to return home any longer. In other words, anyone who comes in the presence of Krishna, who is attracted by Krishna and is in his presence, he will not go back to the material world any longer. He just can't make this journey back. I remember Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's speech. He was lecturing in Mayapur, and two young students came and heard this lecture, and then they wanted to return back to their university studies, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said to them, "Don't go, stay." We came for a lecture, and now we have another lecture. Don't go, stay. When a personality to the status of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati says this, you can't easily go. It's at other times, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would tell to people who came to him, he would just tell them, don't come with a two-way ticket. Come only with a one-way ticket. Otherwise, you're not wanted here. One-way ticket means you can't return. If I have a one-way ticket to India, I have to stay in Kolkata with the mosquitoes. There's no way to return. One-way ticket. Yes. This is what Radharani also says, that they become blind for the material world. They cannot find the path returning home. These are all pastimes, which happened during this Gambira pastime in Kashi Mishra's wonderful house. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu searched for Krishna, found Krishna, lost him again. This was the ocean of his divine exploration. A very wonderful pastimes, and I think you can understand now why this work is considered to be the postgraduate study. So it really gives away all the secrets about God This is Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, very nice purport is made. Now some intense planning is necessary. The title Prabhupada is explained, which is used for the Lord of the Prabhus. It is a title which is given to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He has this title, Nityananda and Advaita Prabhu. But we also hear that there's Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, Jiva Goswami Prabhupada. We hear this title is there. And it is a very, very respectable title which is given. Prabhupada allowed us, our Srila Prabhupada allowed us to use this title in relationship. When he allowed this, this caused first a stir amongst his God brothers. I believe you can understand why these God brothers of him were accustomed to use this title only in relationship to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. They felt a very, you know, very, you know, shaken. They were in the old times of ISKCON. Another title, Vishnupad, was given, Shripad was given, there are other padas which were given, but no one dared to touch the title Prabhupad. That was inconceivable. Imagine the disciple of Srila Prabhupada taking this title. What type of the reaction there would be amongst his God brothers, inconceivable. So this was the first reaction. But then something else happened over the years. Over the years, the devotee, the God brothers could understand, many God brothers of Prabhupada, that this title is really justified. Because it means a representative of Lord Vishnu. And Srila Prabhupada, our Srila Prabhupada, has really represented Krishna in the Western world in a way which is just simply not at all possible to imagine. It is only the power of Lord Krishna. And we as followers of Srila Prabhupada are just very, very, very blessed that we have met this personality who has such a tremendous amount of spiritual potency and who has done something which we can't, which cannot be, how do you say, copied. Uncopyable. Now we as Prabhupada's disciples, followers, I mean there are few disciples amongst us here, but most like followers and grandchildren of him. I want to bring one very interesting little pastime to your memory about Prabhupada, which I find just so extremely telling. Prabhupada, when he returned to Vrindavan, he was met by many of the spiritual elites of Vrindavan, and he was visiting different homes, gave different lectures with his European disciples. Now these disciples did not know how to behave in India, in the Indian ways. I mean, some disciples just stole all the sweets from the sweet shops. You know, they came by with the rickshaws and everything is open, and they went like, yoo-hoo, and took the sweets and ate them. And the sweet shop people went to Vishwambhar Goswami and other such elite people and said, we have to take care of our families, and these Westerners, they just steal sweets. I mean, if there is a need, if they wish to have sweets, they can ask us, we will give them one or two, and the others they should buy, but they should not steal. I think you will agree that this is not a very good activity. And then it was brought to Prabhupada's attention, and he called all his disciples together and said, don't steal sweets from the sweet shop. You can imagine, his disciples, I mean, they were at that time not on the highest level of common sense. Sometimes other things happened, and I also did something foolish. I always wanted to ride on a rickshaw in my life. And one day I told to the rickshaw driver in Vrindavan, imagine, when I was the first time there, later I heard this is not proper, you sit down and I will drive your rickshaw. And I went, at that time I was still a brahmachari, but this is not a good excuse, you know. Yoo-hoo! The rickshaw, don't drive so fast. You know, very, 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 very unusual Europeans are, you know. So one day, in an assembly, one man asked, Prabhupada, when you are gone, what if your disciples create a nuisance? Nuisance means like a disturbance. In other words, they were afraid that these Europeans who are not yet on the highest level, when you are gone, you are the one who can tame them, but when you are gone, what will happen with them? Can you understand? The worry. Now, Prabhupada's reaction at this time was, and I could cry with ecstasy, he became very angry. My disciples are Vaishnavas. Don't talk like this, Vaishnavas. This is a Vaishnav apparat. He defended his disciples. He had such a relationship of love and care for us that he knew everything was not yet there in place, but he knew that as long as the devotees would keep to the chanting of the holy name, that was Prabhupada's great faith, the holy name would purify them. This he knew, that was his faith. And then, you know, later he told to one of his friends from Vrindavan, he said, please, if there's something to criticize with these Western disciples, you please come to me and I will tell this to them. But if you criticize them in the open, they will feel discouraged and their faith is still very weak. And when someone with a weak faith is discouraged, he will go. I don't know if you know, so many of us have left Prabhupada's service. I do not know if you know, it is very sad, but there's many have left the service. Yeah, because the faith is not yet so strong. I think this particular lila shows why we really feel, oh, Prabhupada, he did something for us. He was the only one really who could do this. He never saw us as Westerners. He was ready to overlook our numerous faults. He was just only giving the mercy. And this makes him into a truly great personality. You know, there's Alexander the Great. Is he really so great? What makes a person great? To just be able to fight very, very swiftly and to break the regulative principles with a smile. No, this immense compassion and this Krishna Shakti to transform people. So we owe to Prabhupada a great debt. Prabhus, we have to become good. We have to become worthy of his mercy. We are not considering, oh, Prabhupada is so great, so therefore I'm automatically great if I'm in this movement of Prabhupada. We understand, oh, Prabhupada is so great, but I have to come just somehow a receptacle of his mercy. That is, I have to, yes, try my best. Given his great Shakti, and anyone who connects with this current of divine energy, Krishna's mercy, he will obviously be able to make very, very significant changes in his life and become, Prabhupada said, it's possible to become a pure devotee. Yeah. Hare Krishna. So, Hari Bol, this was the lecture. I would like to give you a little summary. We were hearing today about Kashi Mishra Bhavan, and in particular the Gambira. We heard about the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the divine exploration, how he was feeling the separation of Lord Krishna, and how Shankara Pandit, the pillow of Mahaprabhu, was there to protect the Lord, but instead the Lord protected him by putting his chatter over him. We also heard about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu meeting Lord Krishna, and then again his disappearance. And we heard a little attempt to glorify Srila Prabhupada, because the verse talks so much about Prabhupada, and Prabhupada also, he talks at the end of the verse, he defends this title, the title, really. Yes. So now we are in a dilemma. It's 9:30. Jai Gopal is very hungry. And knowing the tremendous fire of digestion in Jai Gopal, I almost feel we have to end here. Otherwise, end of yoga program. I want to thank you very, very much. I wish you a very nice day in Krishna consciousness. Thank you very, very much also for the Radhadish community, that you tolerate us as yogis, I should say.